You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
As mentioned, today we're speaking to Pastor Chambalama about a Sinet Private College, which is a private Adventist-affiliated school in Harare, Zimbabwe. And he will share some lessons learned along the journey, and I'm told he's already on the line. Good evening, Pastor.
Good evening to you, and good evening to all the listeners.
How are you doing today?
I'm all right. Excited to be on Business Sense, and thank you for having me here.
Thank you so much for taking your time. Really appreciate it. How was your day, though? Was it hot? We are dying of the heat wave this side of the world.
It's extremely hot in Zim, and yeah. It's not raining as it is supposed to be. I'm telling you, it's really killing.
Yeah, we need to pray somehow.
Yes, yeah. So the times and seasons says Genesis chapter 8. Yeah. So, yeah,
sure.
Just take it as it comes.
Certainly, we need to do that. Thank you so much, Pastor, for joining us. For people who might not know you, which might be a strange thing, can you tell us a little bit about yourself before we even get into talking about the private school?
Okay, so speaking to you is Pastor Ladias Chambalama.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a trained and qualified pastor in the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Yeah.
But apart from serving as a pastor, I'm an associate pastor for the Harare English-speaking district, which has two churches, Mount Pleasant Church and Avondale Church. There I'm serving as an associate pastor.
Mm.
But outside my work as an associate pastor, I'm also a businessman.
Yeah.
Running Signet Investments. You were calling it Signet.
That's what
a lot of people... A lot of people call it that, but the G is actually not silent.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm an entrepreneur, one of the three directors that run Signet Investments, which also is the owners of Signet Private College.
Okay.
I'm a married guy.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm a married pastor with one son who is 1 year old. Just celebrated his birthday last week in America.
Fantastic. Okay, I think that really gives us some bit of background. Seems like you are very busy. Pastor, do you ever get time to rest?
We are actually supposed to get time to rest.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, this is a very busy world, and sometimes we have a very hectic itinerary, and we just look forward to the Sabbath,
where
you are supposed to be preaching again, so you don't get time to
rest. Sure, yeah. Like Christ said, my Father worketh hitherto, so... I suppose, the same with you as well. So really interesting. Thank you so much for that, Pastor. Let me pronounce this quite correct. You said the G is not silent, so it's Signet Private College. Can you tell us then a little bit about Signet Private College? How did you guys end up studying this college? Was there a need? What did you see in the community?
Okay, thanks again. But let me begin by explaining why the name Signet to start with. The name Signet was motivated by the creature that bears that name. So a signet is a young one of a swan, I think found mostly in some parts of Europe.
Yeah.
And this swan has a lot of emulable characteristics.
Mm.
So it was upon studying this animal, studying this bird, how it does its things, the character traits that, you know, it exudes, that we really wanted to identify ourselves with this creature. I'll just give you a few examples of what it does. One of the examples that I loved, the key one that I loved, is that it behaves more or less like what a dolphin does. You know how a dolphin is very helpful to drowning people, desperate people in the waters. It is also quite a helpful creature to people that are close to where it's found. And they also say of this creature that it doesn't cross mate. So what they do is when the cygnets are young, they choose, they sort of date. They look around the group, pick one date, and they keep that mate for life. They do not cross mate. They just keep that one until death do them apart.
Yeah.
And they also keep their children very well. They look after their children. The father, when the mother is lying over the eggs, the father is going about the nest, weeding, looking for food. When the mother has to stretch, he then comes, covers the eggs. Very responsible creature. So when we looked at all those characteristics, we felt we really would want our organization to identify with the creatures, hence the name Cygnet. Now, how did we begin this? I will tell you, Zim is, some would view them as threats, but others would also view them as opportunities. So we didn't start this business as a school. We started it as a, we were running what are called boarding houses, where we would accommodate young teenagers that are going to private schools around Harare. So you choose any school you want, but we would then provide accommodation where you would live. So our service was accommodation, food, supervised study, and transport to and from your school. Now, what motivated the idea of the boarding houses was that there was and still is a massive movement in Zim by many people going into the diaspora. Some going into South Africa, some going into England and various parts of Europe. And most of these people will be going out for opportunities outside Zim. And they would then leave their families behind. Some would leave teenagers with no one to look after them. And so that was part of our motivation that let's set up a home. And some of these people that are outside the country but would want their children to learn here, or whose children will have to learn here for some time, they can have sort of a, like a parent who would then take care of them, supervise the children, take them to school, supervise their study. You know, things like that. That was part of the motivation behind. So we then started it as a boarding house, and the Lord blessed it. It grew quite massively. At our height, I think in our houses, we are accommodating about 170 teen high school going students. And then after some time, we then made a decision, why not transform this into a school? Why have them go to different schools? Why not just set up a school? And that's how we then set up Cygnet Private College.
Sure. All right. That's interesting. And when you look at other similar private colleges, what makes yours a little bit different and I suppose special than the others?
Okay. Let me first start by saying it being an Adventist affiliated college makes it very different from the other, because it's not just a school. It's a, it's a mission field, a place where people are taught what we believe. People are actually baptized. We baptize every term. It's apart from the academics, it's a place where people are developed morally. So it's a moral development center. It's a very safe center to leave your child. But what has given us an edge over the schools around us has been, of course, number one, the moral aspect, but number two, the aspect of our technocentric way of teaching. We have imported wonderful technology to use in classes, so our classrooms are not the ordinary classrooms you'd meet in your day-to-day school. So you have interactive board technology in every class that the students are using. If someone cannot make it to school, a teacher can just teach, the board can record the lesson, we email the lecture to the student. If they have internet where they are, they can then go through the lecture, respond to the assignments, email back to the teacher. So that has also given us an edge over the schools around us. But apart from that, we have also done very well in that we have been able, by the grace of the Lord, to attract very, very high-profile teachers. If I show you the profiles of the teachers that we have, we have a very, very high-profile teachers. And that has also contributed to in attracting people from different other places to our school.
That makes sense.
And when, in brief, I'll just put that way.
And when did the school start?
So as a business, Cygnet Investments has been around for 4 years. But in terms of registering the school, we registered the school last year, and then it began operating January 2023.
January 2023. And how has the journey been so far since you started in 2023?
It has had its good days, and admittedly, it has also had its bad days. Its good days are that because of how we started, because remember, we were already running another business. We were running boarding houses. So it was therefore not very difficult to finance the starting of the school. And so because it was backed up financially from another business, it also started at a very, very high note. And for that reason, it had a whole lot of students on day number one of starting business.
Yeah.
So I would say those were very, very good days. But it has also had challenges,
yeah.
Some that are micro challenges within our reach and some that are beyond our control. And those that are beyond our control were generally economic challenges, things that are affecting every other business and that are not just directly targeting you. And those have been, I must say, one of our greatest challenges throughout the year.
That makes sense, because I would have really liked to hear how you started in terms of raising finance, because I'm sure it took a lot of money for the school to be set up. And just to then go back last year, I'm sure you've had to do quite a lot of marketing, both to students and also to the kind of teachers that you now have, high caliber teachers. I'm sure there was a lot of doing a bit of groundwork and all that. What has been some of the lessons in the groundwork that you had to do that you now realize almost a year later that, yeah, maybe we did something right there?
So the first thing, my brother, is that you, in my view, you need people. You need people, and you need people that know things. When we were launching, there are a number of things that when I look back, I say, this we did right. But some of them, it was not because we really planned that we wanted to do it that way, but it was incidental, really.
Okay.
In that we found ourselves with the right people.
Yeah.
So the first thing that I need to put across, even before we got the teachers, we needed the right resource in terms of people that knew what to do. So I must admit that it's not just my brains. We had a lot of advice work. I remember I have a friend who's who works for one of the big media houses in Zim, who was also very pivotal in assisting with how to launch a brand, how to get your brand out there, and how to get it known. So that particular individual really helped in terms of how to design our advertisement material, how to reach people where they are found, how to reach the type of people that we also wanted to reach. So that was one. Another individual also came in, and there was a lot of equipment we needed. And this person knew where to get the equipment outside our borders, and we could get most. We imported most of our equipment from Asia, and they knew how to get it, how to ship it over, how to bring it to one place.
Yeah.
A third person also knew. Okay, so how do we get all the necessary licensing in Zim for this particular business? And this person was coming in with that kind of knowledge and letting us know, okay, you need city council approval.
Yes.
You need to register with the revenue authority. You need to register with the Minister of Education.
Yes.
And these are the documents you need.
Yeah.
And those were the people that came in. Another person also came through. This one was a former head from another elite school, and had access to some of these high caliber teachers. So he was responsible for then calling this person, calling that person, inviting them to come. So the basic lesson that I would say I learned is that in any business, no matter how sharp you are, you just need people that know things. You can't do it by yourself.
You need people. Oh, that's really lovely. Now let's talk about then fast forward first day or first registration. I'm sure it was a milestone to actually get someone to sign up and say, I believe in this school, so I'm going to bring my child to this school.
It was very, yes, we got a lot of students, but but I don't want to lie that it was an easy process. Remember, we were in business, but in a different, somewhat different field altogether. This was the very first time that we were going to then say, okay, now we're offering tuition. And for you to trust me with your child, it really takes a lot. It really takes a lot. So while we got a lot of students on day one, I must admit that it was not easy to get people in one place. What among the things that I feel helped, the major one is that because you have attracted high caliber teachers, high profile teachers, these teachers already have results from their previous schools. And so And so if someone were to say, okay, this is a new school, how guaranteed am I that my child is going to pass if they come to your school? So you then had to write on the profiles of the teachers. Okay, so look at this teacher that we have for math. Look at this teacher that we have for French. Look at this teacher that we have for chemistry. These are people that have award-winning teachers. So if you bring your child, we are so sure that the results they were producing in their previous center, they will be able to produce them even here. So that was sort of the dynamic.
Okay. And what grades do you cover?
So I know in South Africa, you talk in terms of grades. When you are in high school in Zimbabwe, you talk in terms of forms.
Okay, okay.
So you have form one up to form six. And that's basically what we cover.
From one to form six. There, I remember that. That's that. Okay, let's talk about you then. What drives you as an entrepreneur?
That this is a very important question.
It is.
what is it that drives me as an entrepreneur? Let me also say that I never planned to be an entrepreneur.
Okay.
I know a lot of people, they dreamt themselves being entrepreneurs. They dreamt running this business and running that business.
Yeah.
I never planned to be one.
Okay.
If I were to tell you what I was dreaming I would become, you'd probably laugh at me in this interview.
Yeah.
You know, when I got baptized into the Adventist Church, as I was learning about the church, my dream was to become the General Conference President. And I was working towards that. But that was my plan. But somewhat in the journey of life, I didn't find myself being employed as a college chaplain.
Yeah.
But which job I served in 5 years. So I was a college chaplain for 10 years.
Yeah.
It was in the process of serving as a college chaplain that this business idea came up. And let me just mention how it came up. How it came up was that I was living in an apartment and I was living alone. I was not married. And then there was this particular parent who had a child.
Yeah.
That they wanted to learn at the school where I was a chaplain.
Yeah.
But this school was a day school and they did not have accommodation.
Yeah.
So they were really struggling. Okay, so if we have this child live in this house, learn at this school, where would they go to live?
Yeah.
And one guy who was a marketing executive in this school and then spoke to this parent and said, look, I can talk to the chaplain. He has a three-bed apartment, but he lives by himself. If he can spare one of his bedrooms, maybe we can have your child live there and maybe we can pay the chaplain. And then he can be bringing him to school. So he spoke to the parent. They spoke to me. I agreed, and this guy came. And within a week of living at my place, he then suggested that he also had a friend who wanted the same arrangement. And I agreed. And then this friend came. And before the end of the term, I had 8 of them in my house. So someone, then someone said, look, but we could rent a bigger space and and have more of these come. And fast forward, by COVID time, we had 168 of them living in 3 different houses. So that's how I became an entrepreneur. And what drives me? It's a difficult question. But look, for me, it's the satisfaction that I get from getting to see someone pass through my hands and becoming someone who is emulable in society. I think that's what motivates me and keeps me going.
Okay. Your typical day then? What time do you wake up? What happens in between? When do you catch a break? When do you go to sleep? Sounds like you're straddling quite a lot of other things that you're doing as well.
Yes, I must admit that my day is a very crazy one.
Yeah.
Because apart from, so I'll mention the things I do. Number one, I'm an entrepreneur at Signet Private College. Number two, I'm an associate pastor for the English speaking district in the North Zimbabwe Conference. Number three, I'm doing my PhD studies.
Yeah.
And number four, I'm a family man and I have a son and a wife who demand my attention.
Yeah.
And so all those really demand my time.
Yeah.
And so my typical day is that So I wake up quite early, 4 a.m. I'm up,
Sure.
trying to get ready for my work.
Yeah.
And I normally get to my office very, very early in the morning. Normally, 4 a.m. I'm doing my reading. I do my reading somewhat up to around. I get to my office at around 7 a.m. But 4 a.m. I'm up. I do my reading. I prepare. I go to work. 7 a.m. I'm at the office. I do my itinerary for the day, the things I want to do, the calls, the meetings. I do that by 8 o'clock. Business begins. I'm starting my meetings. Normally, they run up to around 4 p.m. I'm done at the office. If I have home visits for the district, I then do them after 4 p.m. or I do further reading. By 7, I'm home and I'm having to, sometimes a little earlier, but I'm then having to spend time with my wife and my son. Up to around 9, I go to bed, and then 4 a.m. I'm up again. So that's generally the cycle in my day.
At least you're getting some time to sleep, right? 9, 10 a.m. That's an amazing one. And all this business and the great work that you're doing, how has that affected your family?
It really has affected them in a if you ask them, they will put it across much stronger than I'm saying, because they're always complaining
Yeah.
that
Daddy is never
it really
home.
has. It really has. Sometimes they need you home for something important, but this clashing with an important meeting you have to run for. And remember, this school that I'm running also has boarding houses, so these students are in the school and they are also living in our houses. Sometimes I'm at home and I'm enjoying family life, time with my family, and there's an emergency at the house that
Sure.
someone else has to take care of. But sometimes, depending on the magnitude of the emergency,
Yeah.
I might have to just be there to make sure. So it really has affected it is that effect on the family, in that there are a lot of emergencies. You have to be running. Either it's an emergency meeting, or you have to respond to something that has happened. And outside the normal itinerary, the emergencies also do take their toll on you and on your family as well.
On the family as well, sure. And talking about, when you get into a new business, I think you might be a seasoned entrepreneur like yourself and have experience in running some or other business. But when you get into a new space, there's always the expectations which sits on a balance sheet and some income and expenditure statement that is forecasted over the next 5 years and all those. And it looks good. You get it to a funder. This looks good on paper, but when you actually now have to do it, you realize, maybe that model actually didn't work. We need to refine it. We thought this was going to happen. We thought you're going to have this much revenue by first quarter or this much number of students and all that. What has been that for you? One thing that comes to mind, which expectations and actual reality were maybe a little bit different.
That's important and true, and I think it's important for almost any other business. I've shared with you that we attracted high caliber teachers, high profile teachers to our school, and those come at a cost, and they come at a very massive cost. In Zim, we use US dollars, and once you find yourself with a wage bill of over 60,000 per term, that's a lot of money. That's a whole lot of money. And you have to then raise enough to be able to then take care of that wage bill. So the fact that you have your teachers, like in my case, for example, I attracted a lot of these teachers, and then overnight the wage bill is high. And then you then notice, okay, we have many students, but we do not seem to be able to sustain the budget. The amount of money we are getting in, this business is still new. It still has other overheads. It has other things. You are still continuing to develop it. You are continuing to buy more stuff, and suddenly you have less money than what is actually required for the business to see its day-to-day running. For Zim, it's unlike South Africa, where you can just walk into a bank and then you have a loan the next morning. Sometimes funders are hard to come by. And you might find yourself in 1 month or another, because you are a startup, failing to actually pay on time in terms of salaries, and then you are waiting for the next cycle. And then when the next cycle comes, you find it has brought in a bit of revenue, but you're having to cover a bit of backlog from the previous cycle, which brings a shortfall in the new cycle. And so those are expectations, those are challenges that one meets. But I wish to say, I think it's expected, and it mustn't discourage anyone. They just have to remain steady, focused, keep pushing. You always get someone who walk in and leave a dollar on a different day.
I'm looking at your social media, particularly Facebook here, and I think the type of graphics that you use can attract anyone to your school and actually want to engage with you, because I think in a world where technology and social media has become such an important part of our life, we can already judge you just by the content that you put out. And that, I'm sure, has costed quite a lot of money. But how do you generate new ideas on your school? Particularly, you know, if it's private school, obviously there's a certain expectation that, you know, things are going to run at a certain, maybe elevated, higher level than what you find in your more public schools. How do you deal with new ideas for the business? How do you know that, you know what, actually, let's try this idea. Does it come in a vacuum? Does it come through prayer? Or as some, you know, creative people would say, a little bit of a bubble that they would sit in?
I want to mention three things that bring up new ideas in my experience. Number one, definitely we cannot discount the value and power of prayer.
Yeah.
Where you are just, you know, as an entrepreneur, if you're an MD, sometimes you don't sleep. You are right on your bed at night and you're looking into the ceiling and you are thinking. And in the process of thinking, the Lord then just throws in an idea. So number one, indeed, the value of prayer, there are a lot of ideas that just come in that are very revolutionary. And you have not, no one has thought about them, at least in as far as your circle is concerned. And so that really brings in a lot of ideas. So you need to take a lot of time telling the Lord every time you have a new challenge so that he then gives you the wisdom of what ideas you can come up with that can help you go through about navigate a particular situation. So that's number one, prayer, prayer, prayer. That's number one. Number two, I'll get back to the statement I mentioned earlier in this interview that you really need people. And almost all these people, if I were to engage with you, you're a very experienced broadcaster. You are working with a big radio station. There are a whole lot of things that you know that I do not know. And so if I just have a conversation with you, by the time we are done speaking, I've already gotten an idea or two from just what was basic with you. It may be revolutionary with me. So you really need people. Have a circle that shares some ideas. And then the third one that I've also learned from, one of the privileges that the Lord has given me is the privilege of being a bit widely traveled. I've had a chance to go to a few places, I think a few places in China, a few places in the UAE, parts of Asia and things like that. I've had that privilege. And so as you are traveling, as you see new places, I mean, I come to South Africa, I'm in Joburg, I'm in Pretoria, I see this school and I see how they've done their toilet. You know, look at the toilet, even in the hotel, you look at how they've done their toilet. And they're like, this is really nice. And when you get back home, you don't need to invent the wheel. You don't need to dream great thing, new things. The same thing I saw in my hotel in South Africa, I can say, okay, look here, let's renovate these toilets. Let's put this design. Because I saw it somewhere else. So I would say those three for me really would be the sources of new ideas.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Okay, as we draw towards the end.
Just a minute. Maybe let me add this. And I've also copied other schools. It's not a lie. There are some schools that I also watch online. You go online, there's this wonderful Adventist school in Canada. Like there's one particular one in Canada. I think it's Fountain View. I watch them a lot. And you see these nice things they are doing and you also want to do the same.
That makes sense. So you pick up from people. I love that. You know, you listen to people, you engage, you talk to people, but as you travel as well, pick up one or two things, and we cannot discount the value of prayer there as a very important part of coming up with new ideas. If you were to start all over again, particularly this private school, what would you do differently if given the chance? Say, well, let's go back to 2022 where you were a year ago. What would you do differently?
I would not rush to enter into contracts with people.
Okay. Okay.
I really would not rush. I've lost a lot of money because... I trusted people and I was not very careful with how the documentation was structured and things like that.
Yeah.
You do it out of trust that this is my brother from SID Media.
Yeah.
He's an elder in the church.
Yeah.
And then you just quickly sign before you know it. They are telling you are supposed to pay me 20,000 for a work they never did.
Yes.
And if you don't give it to them, they will sue you. And so we have lost a lot of money because we have, instead of being careful with our documentation, and we've entered into agreements that have costed us financially, but have not benefited us materially.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I think that's one of the challenges that in business one has to be on the lookout of, because often they can cost you more than the value of the paper that they're actually written in. And you find yourself in locked contracts where you can't go out. Where is Signet in the next 5 to 10 years?
Great question, revolutionary one. Yes. So, look, in the next 5 years, I view ourselves having built a big school, bigger than where we are.
Okay.
In Zim, but I'm seeing us also having a branch in Zambia and another one in South Africa.
Yeah. Yeah. Ah, where exactly in South Africa are you looking at opening that one? Or is still a thought?
I'd rather not share for now.
Okay.
But yes.
That makes sense. That makes sense. We'll be here as Business Sense, don't worry. On the day you open, we'll be broadcasting live. From it here. Yeah, my producer is listening, so I know she'll make things happen there. We spoke about the challenges, and I don't think that life is always struggling between the difficulty and being against the wall. Your most satisfying moment with Signet Private School?
Look, I've had a lot of those. So let me mention the miracles.
Yeah.
That we experienced. Among the miracles was the miracles of getting licensing. It's not very easy here. And by the way, I live in Zim. I've been bred in Zim, but I'm a Mozambican by origin.
Okay.
And sometimes it's not. You have to change a few documents about yourself before you can be able to register anything. So getting the licensing for me has been a great miracle. Getting licensed by local authorities, getting licensed by the ministries in the government, and getting our Cambridge International School status with Cambridge.
Oh, nice!
Assessment. They call it the CAIE. They govern the Cambridge examinations across the world, around the world. Getting our center status with them, getting a certificate of partnership as a British Council partner school.
Sure.
That was a milestone for us. And but that was also a miracle, because normally, even if you meet their requirements, you cannot get all that licensing in the short space that we got. Normally they will say, okay, yes, we've seen that you meet, but let's see if you are consistent before we consider you for this partnership. But we were able to get all that. If you ask me how we got them within 6 months, I also cannot tell. It's a big miracle. So yes, that has been very, very satisfying. And what has also given me a lot of joy is you do your advert, you throw your advert out there, and someone calls you and they are in Bahrain and they are saying, look, I need my child to come over and live with you guys. I've seen you online. And somewhat getting to see some of those things paying back.
Yeah.
It has really been quite satisfying. The milestones, every new student that comes in, every positive review you get from people, has been a milestone. And my most latest milestone is speaking on Adventist World Radio.
That's beautiful. Well, look at that.
Yeah. I'm thankful.
Fantastic. And we are so grateful.
I've spoken here preaching a few times.
I know.
Not on Business Sense.
Look, you're already on your way to a couple of more Business Sense talks, eh? So be ready for that. Be ready for that. Now, let's talk about I suppose people who are interested in joining the school, how do they, get a hold of you? Where do they follow the school? But more importantly, there are young people that want to follow in your footsteps. They want to start their own businesses, might not necessarily be a private college, but they follow you. They see the work that you do in the different spheres and are encouraged by you as well. What would be your message of encouragement? How can they start? Where can they start? And then where can we follow Signet Private School? I'm already on the page, so I know.
Okay. Well, so let me start with where anyone can follow us.
Yeah.
I think we have a Google website. Someone can see us there.
Yeah.
And we have a Facebook page, Signet Private College, and that has been a very engaging one.
Mm.
And we have a Twitter page, a Twitter account, and people can also see us on Instagram, Signet Private College. I think all those are sites where anyone who's outside can be able to see what we do and get our material. Someone can also reach out through our call, calls. You can always see us. I think the details are there on our Facebook page, on our Twitter, on our Instagram. I think one can get our phone numbers, our email addresses.
Yeah.
I think you can reach us there. And then let me get to the question. And by the way, we have several students that are from South Africa, mostly Zimbabweans.
Nice.
Mostly Zimbabweans that are living in South Africa.
Yeah.
But so we are taking care of their children back home. So,
nice.
We are open to people within the region, South Africa, Zambia, Botswana, any one of those countries. We even have, I think we have two students from people that are living in Namibia also, that are with us. So we are open to people that are outside our borders to have their children live with us and then get back.
Yeah.
And then let me just end by the last question you asked me, my words of encouragement.
Mm.
I think there's one part that I did not mention, which I would not have done well if I do not mention.
Mm.
So while the business started organically, like I mentioned, there was a time after the rapid growth. You know, you wake up, you have 40 new clients, and that you have to accommodate, and there are resources that are needed to get your place ready to take in those people.
Mm.
So I need to also admit that there are people that have also financially come through at a certain stage of the business.
Yeah.
And I need to acknowledge those.
Yeah.
I need to acknowledge a good friend of mine, a good comrade of mine. I've not asked him, so I'll not mention his name for now. but if he's tuning in, I need him to know that I appreciate that he extended large sums of money to us to buy. In fact, he bought one of our buses. He bought us a bus to be able to run the school. And then I have another friend donated all the branding work. He runs a branding company, Alive Advertising, and so they did all the branding on account.
Sure.
They said, look, if you trade, you can always then pay us our money.
Oh, lovely.
And then, yes, and then another brother also who assisted with, when we're facing some problems, we did have a problem here and there, and he would take care of anything problematic. And so these people did also pour in some resources. A marketing friend also from my local church, a sister who's a marketer, also did a lot of wonderful work. And the many church members that just shared our materials on their statuses that came through for us when we need, all those people I need to appreciate.
Mm.
I'm mentioning these people very deliberately because you said, what advice can I give to a young person out there who also wants to run a business. I'm in my early 30s myself, and I consider myself a young person. And I know some that are, and by 4 years ago when we started, I was way younger. There are some that are younger than me, some even older, that might want to start a business. I have one piece of advice that I got from one guy that helped us with financing. This person said something that I think will help anybody if they pay attention to it. This person said, make friends before you need them. And these friends can be, know someone from SID Media, one day you need them. Know someone from church, these elders. You know, I ran a business, week for my students at school. And I had high profile people coming to speak to the students. You talk of government ministers, CEOs of big banks. Like there's a bank called ZB Bank, and the CEO, the group CEO came to have a conversation with young people. And on a normal day, you can't call those people. They'll never pick your calls. They don't know you. It's difficult to access them. But if you have developed a friendship with them at church where you can meet and there's no protocol, you can give them a ring to say, look, come on Monday and talk to these young people. So the message I need to just share is make friends before you need them. I copied this from someone, and I need to say it. I think it has helped me. If there's a banker in your church, visit him, pray with him. Don't ask for anything. Don't ask for anything. If there's a friend who is into marketing, talk to them. Don't ask for anything. If there's a friend who's in whatever field, chat with them. Get yourself known and have that friendship. One day, when a business idea has popped up and you need things, you know who to call. Make a call. And, is there space for someone to advertise on Adventist World Radio? Look, is there a facility at your bank? Look, could I give you my car in return for 5,000 US dollars that I need to invest? You can hold my car until I pay back. So they are likely to help you then when you have had a relationship before. So we could say a lot of things, but the major thing I want to put across is make friends before you need them.
Beautiful. Beautiful way to end it. I'm going to remember that one myself. Make friends before you actually need them. I think it was a beautiful conversation. Really enjoyed talking to you, and also about the college itself. And I do hope that from this, a lot of people, of course, will be flocking through to the school. Thank you so much, Pastor, for sharing with us this evening. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. May God bless you, and may God bless all the listeners. Thank you very
much.
Bye. Bye.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Let's end it off beautifully with this particular song.